that it is quite contrary to the usage of war that the victors should spare the vanquished for the sake of their gods. There are histories of numberless wars, both before the building of Rome and since its rise and the extension of its dominion. Let these be read, and let one instance be cited in which, when a city had been taken by foreigners, the victors spared those who were found to have fled for sanctuary to the temples of their gods. Or one instance in which a barbarian general gave orders that none should be put to the sword who had been found in this or that temple. Didn't Aeneas see dying Priam at the shrine, staining the hearth he made divine? Didn't Diomedes and Ulysses drag with red hands the sentry slain, her fateful image from your fane, her chaste locks touch and stain with gore the virgin coronal she wore? Neither is that true which follows, that thenceforth the tide of fortune changed and Greece grew weak. For after this they conquered and destroyed Troy with fire and sword. After this they beheaded Priam as he fled to the altars. Neither did Troy perish because it lost Minerva, for what had Minerva herself first lost that she should perish? Her guards, perhaps. No doubt, just her guards, for as soon as they were slain, she could be stolen. It wasn't, in fact, the men who were preserved by the image, but the image by the men. How then was she invoked to defend the city and the citizens, she who couldn't defend her own defenders? Third, that the Romans didn't show their usual sagacity when they trusted that they would be benefited by the gods who had been unable to defend Troy. And these be the gods to whose protecting care the Romans were delighted to entrust their city. Oh, too piteous mistake. And they're enraged at us when we speak thus about their gods, though, so far from being enraged at their own writers, they part with money to learn what they say, and indeed the very teachers of these authors are reckoned worthy of a salary from the public purse and of other honours. There's Virgil, who's read by boys, in order that this great poet, this most famous and approved of all poets, may impregnate their virgin minds, and may not readily be forgotten by them, according to that saying of Horace, the fresh cask long keeps its first tang. Well, in this Virgil, I say, Juno is introduced as hostile to the Trojans, and stirring up Aeolus, the king of the winds, against them, in the words, "A race I hate now ploughs the sea, transporting Troy to Italy, and home gods conquered, and ought prudent men to have entrusted the defence of Rome to these conquered gods?" But it will be said this was only the saying of Juno, who, like an angry woman, didn't know what she was saying. What then says Aeneas himself, Aeneas, who is so often designated pious? Does he not say, "Lo, Panthus, scaped from death by flight, priest of Apollo on the height, his conquered gods with trembling hands he bears, and shelter swift demands"?